Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come in power. Holy Spirit, we invite you here to come in power. Well, it's great to be back. I'm going to spend a few minutes kind of recap last night, kind of what we talked about. And first of all, I hope you understand that between 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is chapter 13. And for you mathematicians, that makes sense, right? But the whole key, I believe, to all the gifts, to all the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and everything, is that chapter 13, right? We used to memorize it in King James, right? If I have all gifts, have everything, have prophecy, and yet don't have love, I like you love that. I'm like a sounding cymbal or crashing cymbals. It don't mean nothing without love. And for too long, the prophetic has actually run on the fact that they're wildly famous, amazing, prophetic people. But that's not the thing. The key is love. And I don't care what your ministry is. I don't care if you're the highest apostle in the whole of the kingdom. If people don't feel loved, then your ministry's in vain. And that's the whole premise of what we do, is try to do this. And it's exciting. The other thing, I won't spill any more beans than I did last night, but God's doing something. God's doing something amazing. There's a new movement prophetic that has started just before New Year's. God gave Phyllis a dream and gave me a word. And part of that, which we'll share tomorrow morning, has to do, there's a new move of prophetic happening. And this is a powerful move. And I don't want to qualify it and say, okay, there's just prophetic. But if you will, it's the Holy Spirit moving. And all the gifts, all the callings, and all of that, he wants some power. And for those of you that think you're prophetic or believe that you're prophetic, I just want to share this with you between now and tomorrow morning. You may want to have a talk with God. And but being prophetic isn't the answer. Jesus is the answer. And as John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. And if you're interested in prophetic, are prophetic, want to be prophetic, any of that, that's going to be the whole key, because there is going to be a lot of prophetic in this move of God, and it's going to be powerful. But it's what God calls servant prophetic. And that's a little unusual for a lot of prophetic people, because they're always right. Or at least they think they are. No. Anyway. And that's true. Prophetic people tend to believe that everything they get is from God. And it's the truth. And there is some truth to that. Because how would you even dare speak on God's behalf if you didn't believe what God gave you was true? But the key is, not every thought that comes to your mind, not everything that happens to you is prophetic, right? The prophetic movement of the 70s really blew that, where it's like, oh, that chair is red, and you're sitting in it. That must be prophetic. And it got so bad that everything you did was prophetic. It's true. There's different churches, more in the States and Canada, but because we're Canadians, but it's true. Everybody thought everything you did was prophetic, and that's wrong. And so I don't want to get that idea as we move into this. For we know in part and prophesy in part, and that's the most interesting part. The fellow that trained me for years, and If you want to get trained in the prophetic the proper way, I think it's what happened to me is years and years ago, went to a meeting and knew about prophecy and learned about it in Bible school, felt that God called me to be a prophet. And this famous prophet, his name was Don Morrison from Texas, and incredible man of God. And he was speaking at this church in Calgary. And I was there, and after the meeting, I went up to him and said, "Don, God's told me." I mean, I was so brash, I called him Don. Anyway, I said, "Don, God, Don's told me that you're supposed to mentor me as prophetic." And he kind of went, Now, you got to realize that guy back in that day dressed all in black, wore black cowboy boots, had a black hat, and he looked a little bit like Johnny Cash. But he was stiff as a board. It was pretty heavy duty to get a prophecy because he'd call you forward and he'd stand like this and reach his hand out and then he'd stare you down. And it's like every bad thing you've done in your life passes before you. That's the kind of guy he was. And he said, "Well, you know what? God's never told me that." And I went away discouraged, thinking he didn't hear from God. But anyway, long story short, a little while later, he invited me and he said, "Yeah, I think I'm supposed to mentor you." I said, "Okay, yay." I'll never forget, the first trip we went down to Montana, and he had this fascinating machine. It was a double cassette recorder.
Now you know how long ago that was.
But a double one. I still don't know where he found it. So you could record two tapes at the same time. And what he used to do is go to churches and he'd have one long 90-minute cassette tape on this side and ones that he bought that only had maybe 12, 15 minutes on the other side. And my job was to carry all the stuff in the church, set the thing up and everything, and keep changing the tapes. And that happened for almost 3 years. And I kept going to God. I said, "God, how is this guy mentoring me?" And God says, "Be patient." And I said, "But God, you don't understand. I'm getting old now. I mean, I'm 28 years old. Don't you understand?" And I tried nicely to try and encourage him to mentor me more. And nothing ever happened. 3 years later, we're in Great Falls, Montana at this church. And that's right when cell phones first came in. Remember them? The brick. They were about 5 pounds.
Yeah, that's it.
And this pastor comes on the stage and he's got one of these things hanging up. I mean, his pants are half coming off. And he's just saying, "Yeah, we got Don here again. We're excited to have him. Ring, ring." He answers it. Said, yeah, okay, I will. I'll do that for you. Thank you very much. And he hung it up. And it's like, what kind of church is this? Anyway, so we're all ready. And Don comes up and he goes, "Wow, it's great to be here." He said, "It's so exciting. I see you guys have a Dairy Queen here." And he loved ice cream. And he said, "Dave, do you want to come up for a sec?" So I came up. And he goes, "How long have we been ministering together?" And I kind of go, "None." I didn't say that, but. And he said, "Yeah, I think it's about 3 years. He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "I'm going to Dairy Queen. It's all yours." And he walked off the stage. And just as he got to the door, he kind of turned around and gave this little smile, put his cowboy hat back on, went and left. And I'm sitting there. Oh God, please God, do something here. And I just said, "Okay, God, give me something here." And he gave me something, and you haven't been able to shut me up since, but anyway.
Okay, just a second.
Yeah.
That oh God, that's David's prayer. Whenever things need something amazing, he is like, oh God. I thought, boy, I recognize that. So he's true. He's honest. Oh God. Go to
Amen.
The right source.
So we talked about the amazing thing about your gifting is you. Because each one of us is totally individual. So no matter what brand of prophetic you are, you're the best person to give the prophetic word that you've got to give to a person, a group, or whatever you. Because God chose you before the foundation of the world to do things like that. We'll find out tomorrow morning, everybody can prophesy, but not everybody's a prophet to nations. And that's where we messed up. We'll be able to explain that, I hope. So, the key is love. The key is love. And I skipped ahead a little bit. Went through a lot of things. Mm-hmm. The message that you receive, as I said, comes through you, your personality. Whether you know it or not, your hang-ups, your issues, the good, the bad, and the ugly of your life. And for years, we've been following different prophetic people and stuff like that. And we won't share it here, but we've come up with kind of what a prophetic personality is like. It's like they had it right from childhood. They're loners usually. They get in trouble a lot. It seems bad things happen to them all the time. And it's like, okay. Anyway. And the key is you need to identify with the people that you're ministering to, that you're prophesying to. In the Old Testament, several of the prophets said, I mean, I love how they prayed, I and my people. Me and my people have sinned. And that helps you stop judging. If you identify with that person, because we've all had issues. And I'm convinced true, what I would call prophets, have gone through a rough life. Because in some ways they've had to. Now some of it's their own making, right? I'll admit that. Sometimes it's my fault. Anyway, the key is love people. Love people. Then we talked a little bit, we segued a little bit about intercessors and what intercessors are. And for years, my opinion of intercessors, it was very scriptural. When you pray, go into your closet and hide. And so when people come to me and said, I'm an intercessor, and I said, that's great. I know that intercessors like to talk. They like to pray forever. So here's a good suggestion. And I would actually give them that scripture and say, go into the closet and pray. Now I understand a little bit more about intercessors. They're amazing people. Listen to this, if you're an intercessor type person. Did you know most of the time the insights that you get from God, the revelation you get from God to intercede with, to pray with, to pray through, you get many times way ahead time-wise of what prophetic people get. And now we learned that kind of by mistake. We had a big church in Calgary and things were going along and it's like God sending us all these intercessor and prophetic people. And you think it's hard to pastor a church when it's normal people. Try pastoring a prophetic person. Because the reality is when you haul them into the pastor's office, whether it's good or bad, they come out rejoicing. So what they do is sometimes you're saying, oh, great word, this today was great. And they go and say, God uses me. I'm great. I'm God's man of the hour. On the other hand, if you say, okay, wait a minute, that was a little off. You know, you need to cool it here and not be so. They go out and say, praise God. I'm in his will. I'm being persecuted. You can't win. It's really hard. We actually have a whole seminar for poor pastors, how to deal with prophetic people. Some of that I learned from Mike Bickle because God got him to build the church specifically for prophetic people. Oh my goodness, the stuff that he learned. It's like, wow. So now we're to tonight. And where are we? Oh, here.
It's my turn. Yeah. Okay. We know that prophecy in the New Testament is imperfect. And therefore, we have an active role in discerning the will of God in our own lives and for our own lives. So when you have received a word, write it out. Record it on your phone. We're very blessed now to have a phone that we can record it on. Record it on your phone and then write it out, or, you know, you can print it out. You know how you can print it off. And then read it. Because when the word of God is spoken, I don't know how you are, but when somebody gives me a word, I get about 1/5 of it, and the rest of it goes whoosh, right? And if I haven't recorded it, there's no way I can write that fast. If I haven't recorded it, then a lot of it goes by the wayside. Although God still is doing that, I may not recognize it as it happens, right? So you're leaving already? No. Where are you going?
No. Last night, tonight.
Oh, it's my turn. Okie dokie. All right. Yeah, he did learn that from Don Morrison, let me tell you. So make sure you write it out. Pay attention to the clues in your word concerning your life, your work, your ministry, your walk, your family, your relationships, because all of those are personal to you. And it may not sound like that to anybody else, but it will to you, because it will touch something in you and you'll think, okay, I know what that means. So your word is for you, and then you can share it with people as you like to, as you want to. It's also for the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is that you allow the kingdom of God, and I allow the kingdom of God to be expanded through your life. And so whatever God is speaking to you is for your own growth and protection and whatever, all the things that he wants to do. I have a little example. Long before I met David, my first husband had passed away, and I went on the mission field to Portugal, to Igreja Maná. Pastor George Tadeel was a huge church.
It's still the third largest church in the world.
A fantastic, fantastic church. Amazing church. Anyway, I was there for a few years. And I didn't have a car or anything. It's like a madhouse there. You think Vancouver's a madhouse. You should be in Portugal when they're driving. But anyway, so I took the bus everywhere. And so I was on the bus. I was on the bus riding home one day, looking out the window to things I'd seen many times, many days. And all of a sudden, God put into my mind a picture of a stick man. And I was like, I am a person who sees visions, and my question is always, okay, so what is this and what is this for? And he said, this is for you. I said, it is. He says, this will be your husband. I said, oh, it will. He still is pretty skinny. When I first met him, he was a stick man. He was really skinny. So he told me he was going to send me my husband, and that I would find him. And a friend of mine was there in Portugal with me, Judy. She actually is from Dawson Creek. She came to visit me there because I was so lonely for people who spoke English. And so she came, and we rode back and forth, and she was asking me this, that, and the other. So I told her about this dream all of those years ago. And my first husband, Ron, had passed away, and my son had passed away, and so some years before. And I was like, well, I guess we'll see. And then it took a few years, but I found out that God certainly is not in a hurry. And even though we want him to be in a hurry, he's not in a hurry. And he has perfect timing for everything in our lives. And so I found out years later as I met David. And you should tell about that.
That's a good story.
It is a good story. Your
turn. Well, it's kind of, we both tell
okay,
it.
Okay, we'll both tell it. I'll interrupt.
So as I shared last night, I lost my wife in a fire. And I didn't handle that too well. And after a while, began running out of money, so I needed to go speaking. I was conference speaker and pastor at that time. a church in Chatwin phoned and said, would you come and do a conference on the gifts of the Spirit? So I said, yeah. And I think I explained some of this last night. I've been to Bible college. I know all about it. I know about grieving, right? There's a, depending on which theological base, it's either five or six, or now I'm hearing there's seven things in grieving. So I was really smart. I did mine in about 6.5, 7 days. Thought it was pretty smart. And I was speaking at this conference, speaking for an hour or so, and then going in the back crying my eyes out. And anyway, that same group of people, the pastors from Dawson Creek, sent Phyllis to the conference. Ian Walker was the main pastor, sent Phyllis to lead the worship there. And so the first day we're sitting down for lunch, and she sits beside me, and she said, hi, I'm Phyllis. I said, okay. And
he doesn't say hi, I'm David.
Yeah, I just kind of, in my own little world. And she said, I understand that you lost your wife. And she said, I'm a grief counselor. I've lost my husband and son and all this kind of stuff. And I think I said, that's nice or something. And so it kind of went like that for a few days, right? She's trying to talk to me.
Yeah, but he wouldn't even look at me. He wouldn't even look at me. I'm like, oh, brother.
So anyway, as it happens, four or five months later, I go to speak at a conference in Victoria, Vancouver Island. And it's in the big hockey arena or whatever it is. So I'm way up in the back, kind of feeling sorry for myself, but still, I got to go on. And I determined, I told God, I don't like you. I'm upset at you. But I choose to love you, and I choose to serve you. But you need to know I'm not very happy with you. And I said, okay, God, I'm not sure I can go on with life, but I'm going to make that choice because I know you want me to minister. So I kind of prayed that to God, and I just sat there, and maybe a few seconds later, be honest, all of a sudden, it just out of me bursts this cry saying, oh, God, don't you have somewhere, somehow, somebody for me? And I looked down to where the main part of the arena place, and here's all these pastors from Dawson Creek who I know because I've been going up there speaking for a number of years. And I saw this lady with them, and I looked and I said, yeah, I said, somebody like that. That would be such a miracle to have somebody so beautiful, so amazing. I mean, that would be cool. I know you can't do that, God, but it would be cool. And so I kind of left it. And anyway, so it's coming towards the end of the conference. And, oh, yeah, we talked. Well, yeah, we talked. Yeah, we talked. We went for coffee. We talked, did different things. Okay, I did most of the talking. Anyway, so it's towards the end of the conference. And back then, worship was really, really cool. And these young people at the end of the conference are going up and they're taking their shoes off and their backpacks and they're just bopping around like Christian dancing, right? And I thought, you know, maybe I can do that, encourage my heart. And I'm walking down this arena and I look way up and here's Phyllis and some of her friends up there. And she had told me that she had gone to the Alliance Church and I thought, oh, that poor lady. I said, how's she going to handle this music? I said, you know, maybe I can help her. So I yelled up and I said, hey, Phyllis, how would you like to come and dance with me? I thought that was cool. And she goes, I beg your pardon? And I thought, okay. So you're up there.
The reason I said that is I told God, I said, I'm going to put out a fleece. And here's my fleece. And I did that years before. And I said, the man I am going to marry is going to ask me to dance.
Now, being Alliance, that can't happen. Anyway, so.
I was like, really? No.
So her friends are going, who knew about that, to go, yeah, go down. And it's like a kind of a hockey arena. And I'm kind of making my way to the front. I look around, and here's Phyllis trying to get down, and I thought, oh, maybe she'll come afterwards. So I thought, okay. And then it's like she kind of stopped and she wasn't coming. And I thought, oh, well, whatever. Anyway, you couldn't find your way home, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm coming near these piles of shoes and I'm starting to kind of go over them. And I realize it's like she's following me, right? And I'm going, this is pretty strange. Anyway, I thought, I'll be a gentleman, so I'll reach out to help her across the shoes, right? And then I realized she's a woman. And I kind of went, I can't be unfaithful to my wife. And I mean, I know, I mean, she's dead and everything, but it's just like, so I just pulled my hand back. And she kind of tripped.
Or the multitude of shoes all over the floor.
So that was, anyway, so we kind of come up there together, and all these people started holding hands, and they're singing.
In a circle. Everybody got into a circle. It was really interesting. It was really God.
We're singing this song. We will break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. You know that song? In the name of the Lord. And so this guy beside me is going, what's wrong with you? You're going to break the flow. I said, what do you mean break the flow? You're breaking the anointing. And I said, why? He said, well, grab the person beside you's hand. And I look and she goes, oh, no, this is Phyllis. And I thought, okay, be brave, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. And I reached out my hand and grabbed her hand. And then I went, and I like go real fast. And it's like, it was so soft. It was so, it's like, oh my goodness, what is this? And she's kind of looking at me. And I'm trying to figure out what to do. I forget what you were thinking. Well, I don't know what you were thinking. Whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, so then I thought, then this guy's bugging me again, right? And he's, and I'm, in my mind, I'm going, don't you understand? My wife's dead. I can't do this. I'm going through all this. The guy says, grab her hand. You don't want to wreck the anointing. And I kind of went, I can't win, right? So not wanting to fight against God by breaking the anointing. I'm not thinking too straight. Anyway, so I got brave again, and I grabbed her. And then I just went like this. I found around a couple of times and I went, oh my God, this may sound weird. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with the beautiful girl. And then I looked at her and she looked at me and I ran. I ran out of the arena.
And scared, we're still speaking.
Scared spitless. Anyway. I don't know how much more. There's more. Anyway, next morning I wake up and I go, I wonder if this is real. I wonder if this is God. So I did the Christian thing that we as Christians do. I decided to go downtown, and I did what I call the prayer of faith. And I said, okay, God, if this is really you, I'm going to come around the corner, and she'll be right there. So make her be there. And I went, and she wasn't there. I'd spent, I don't know, much time. So I thought, okay, God, give me inspiration here. Give me anointing. Give me. And I thought, okay, I know what I'll do is I'll phone some of the hotels. So I got on the phone, phoned a hotel, and I said, hi, my name is David. We were at this conference down at the arena. And they said, oh, yeah, we had some of the people there. And I said, okay, well, there's this beautiful blonde lady. Can you connect me with her room? And the rudeness of hotel people, 6 or 7 of them just hung up on me just like that. A few of them were a little bit nicer. They just say, well, you know, we can't really let that kind of information out. Do you have some more, like a name or something, right? This is way before 9/11, so they were nice. Nobody could do it. So I decided to go back out. Maybe my faith wasn't strong enough. I'm getting prayed up, and I'm still looking for a camp finder. I go back to the arena, and this brings us kind of up to intercessors. The conference had ended the day before. There's this group of people standing there by the conference. I recognized some of them. And I thought, so I went up and I said, what are you doing here? And they said, well, they did say the conference ended, but we're intercessors and we're praying that all the stuff that happened would come to pass. And I thought, isn't that cool? strange, but cool. And if, it's like intercessors, right? No. Anyway, I do have a better attitude about them now. Anyway, I love them. They're amazing. We'll get to that. So anyway, so I just went up to him and I said, hey, by any chance, do you know a lady that lives in Dawson Creek? She's a worship leader. And they went, oh, yeah, Phyllis, we know her. Her name is Phyllis Predicrew. And I said, cool. Can you give me her phone number? And they gave me the phone number. So I went merrily off and I phoned this phone number. Now, in the meantime, you'd gone across the water to Vancouver and to spend some time with your friends. Mm-hmm. Tell them about that and about your lady friends are saying, this is the guy.
Since we had come from Dawson Creek, we thought, we're going to go to Vancouver, and we're going to do some sightseeing, and we're going to, you know. So, shop. So off we went. We had a lovely time, and they kept saying, you know, you should get a hold of this Dave guy. And I said, you know what? No, I'm not going to get a hold of this Dave guy. He can get a hold of me. That's the way it goes, right? So, anyway, let's see what happened next.
So anyway, I kept phoning. This lady answered and said, I'm trying to get a hold of Phyllis Pettigrew. Could you leave her a message? And she said yes. And I thought I only phoned a few times, but somehow.
It was my daughter. You got a hold of my daughter. Anyway, so I called home to see how things are going, right? Say, hi, Diane, how you doing? She said, Mother. I said, what? She said, some guy has been calling here over and over and over. His name is David Rock, and this is his number. Would you please call him? As only daughters can do, right?
We forgot one important detail. When Phyllis left for that conference with her friends from Dawson Creek, Diane had phoned her and said, you know, be prepared because you're probably going to find your husband at this conference. That was her daughter, who was, by the way, very prophetic.
She was very prophetic.
And anyway, so
I gave her the mother look.
Anyway, so Phyllis phoned me back, and I said, thank you for phoning. And I said, thank you for helping with grief counseling and all that kind of stuff. And I said, I know, you know, professionally that you shouldn't do this, but I was wondering if we could talk some more and about life and things like that and see if something's happening. And she goes, yeah, I guess we could. And I said, okay, good. Why don't you hop on the ferry tomorrow morning, come on over, and we'll talk, right? And now you need to understand, being prophetic, I already knew that we were supposed to get married. I got all this stuff, right? And so I drive back to where I'm staying with some friends, and all of a sudden I realize, what have I done here? I said, I'm older now. I'm 40-something, getting old, and I'm stuck in my ways, and that's another problem with prophetic. Sometimes we're stubborn. Be honest. No, anyway. And so I thought, okay, I'll write down all the bad things there is about me, right? Like I leave my clothes around.
I eat a lot. That was on his list. I eat a lot.
Anyway, I had a list of all the horrible things. And then I thought, okay, if she's interested, I know she's a conference speaker. I'm a conference speaker. The only problem is being a prophetic conference speaker, there's not much money in it. And so I thought, okay, I'll write down the 10 worst things about being in ministry. One is you don't make money. And so I don't know exactly what she's used to, but it's like, let's just put it this way, you're not rich being prophetic. Anyway, it's hard being on the road, you know, sleeping in strange places. It's hard work. It's long drives. You speak for a while, and then you drive again. And it's like...
But was it also the 10 worst things about you?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, I wouldn't even want to marry me. I thought, this is too hard. This is too terrible. So I thought, okay, I can write some good things. So I wrote down, I like to eat. That's about all I could think of. And so I thought, okay, that'll do. So I go to the ferry, And I get up to the ferry ramp and I go, I can't do this. And I drove back down again. And by the way, I left 2 hours early, just in excitement. But then, anyway, so on the other end, you're coming across the ferry, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And so I get she's off, also prophetic.
Yes. So I get off the ferry and I know he is not going to be there. I knew he was not going to be there.
I don't know how she knew that.
I knew it. I knew he wouldn't be there. So I got off and sure enough, he wasn't there. I thought, okay, I'm going to get back onto the next ferry. I am going to go and catch my flight. I am going to go back to Dawson Creek. So where was I? I was at the
airport. You were at the ferry terminal.
I was at the ferry terminal. Yeah. And all of a sudden, this car comes careening around the driveway and comes to the screeching halt. And David jumps out of the car, doesn't even close the door, comes running over, flops on this bench beside me, and he says, now, the 10 worst things about David.
Well, I mean, if you're prophetic, you just need to get to it. What do you need all the fluff stuff?
So he goes through all these 10 things to me, how terrible he is and this and that. And, you know, he never picks up his socks off the floor and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then he said, and the good things, I love to eat, period.
So I closed the book and said, we have two choices.
So then he says, okay, well, what are the 10 worst things about you?
Oh, right.
I said, if you think I'm going to tell you the 10 worst things about me, you are crazy.
So I just closed my little book that I made and I said, we have two choices. It's simple. We could go for coffee and I could take her back to the ferry, or we could go get something to eat and get married. And so she goes, well, I'm a little hungry, so that sealed it for me. I said, let's go. And
I said, but.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Year and a half later, we were married. There's a lot more that kind of happened, but let's get back to where we were.
Well, I have to do one. I have to say one thing. In order to get to know each other, so I have lots of good friends in Dawson Creek, and one couple in particular, Rod and Colleen. David was in. You were in Prince George for something. What were you doing in Prince George? Whatever. He was in Prince George, so he called and said, "I'd like to come and visit." I said, "Okay, it's quite a drive, you know," and I said, "I'll find you some place to stay." So he stayed at my friend's. Rod and Colleen's house, and then he would go back to Prince George, and then all of a sudden he'd be back in another day. So I told Rod and Colleen, I said, well, you may as well keep the bedroom ready for him, because I think he's going to go back and forth, and he did, back and forth, back and forth.
Now, I mean, part of the problem was I woke up that second time and thought, I need a new toothbrush. I looked all over Prince George. There was not a good toothbrush there. So I had to drive all the way to Dawson Creek to find a toothbrush. And I thought, while I'm here, I might as well see if Phyllis wants to go for coffee. But anyway.
We did finally get married.
God bless you,
Phyllis.
It sounds like a Hallmark movie.
It does, doesn't it? It does sound like a Hallmark movie.
There's
it was
a whole
hilarious,
much more to
actually.
It than.
I thought it was hilarious.
So what we're sharing here, I'll let you keep going, is
it's not that.
We hand this part out to people we give words to. We encourage you to do that. You need to be accountable when you give a prophetic word. There's no excuse now. Like when we had our training schools back in the day, we made people get little tape recorders and stuff. And we told them, you can't give a prophetic word to somebody unless it's recorded. Mm-hmm. Now, this is two reasons. One, it's so you won't talk as much. Trust me, put a microphone in front of somebody and they'll talk. Anyway, the other reason, it protects you too, because we've had that happen. And so we try to hand out this paper, what to do with the prophetic word. We're telling you this today to share that with you, because when you share a prophetic word, it's not just you say this thing and you kind of squirt it out, or in some cases some prophetic people puke it out, but I know that's crude, but there's a responsibility. hopefully none of you collect prophetic words. Sometimes we get people and say, you know, 10 years ago you gave me this word, 3 years ago. You got any updates? And I use it down, go to page 5 in the paper, right where the horoscopes are. Because that isn't what it's all about. God's word is living, active, and it can change your life. So we encourage you, if you're going to prophesy to somebody, there's no excuse now. Just say, take out your phone, I'm going to prophesy. This move of God, there's going to be a lot of prophecy, but it has to be accountable. And we're telling you this because this is how you're going to be held accountable, because people are going to be taking this word, listening to it, judging it. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with judging. The Bible says to judge it, right? And so we're, we're at prayer.
We're at prayer.
Yeah.
Once you get a word, you pray it back to God. You just take the word, say, God, I'm asking you if this word is accurate and true and real for me, and what is the timing of this word? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we may think everything's going to happen in the next 4 days, but it might be 8 years, right? That's happened to me, where things have come and things have gone, and all of a sudden something happens in my life, and I think, God told me this a very, mm-hmm. very long time ago, and I didn't remember it till this moment, not till this very moment. And, you know, God's really good at that. He's really good at hiding things in your heart until you need them. And so things that God has told you in the past, even if it's just a scripture, sometimes God will use somebody else speaking your favorite scripture to actually speak to you something else. Mm-hmm. So it's really quite interesting. The reason for that is that all scripture is God-breathed, mm-hmm. right? It's all God-breathed. Okay, so where am I going from here now, David? Oh, I was just quoting
right
it. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed, as is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of the Lord, or of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work.
Did you know my wife was in jail? Yeah.
Once upon a time, I went a missionary.
No, this is a true story.
This is a true story. I went as a missionary to Bulgaria. Actually, I lived there for 3 years. Right after the wall came down, God spoke to me. You know, I mean, my kids were grown. My first husband was dead. My son was no longer around. And someone came through.
Georgian Banoff, right?
Yeah, Georgian Banoff. Oh, I know. It was in Vancouver. Went to a Georgian Banoff concert. He's a musician from Bulgaria. And God spoke to me. He said, you are going to that country and you are going to be a missionary. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. Anyway, so finally I thought, okay. And a whole bunch of us, took a whole busload from Dawson to do something fun, you know, go to a Christian concert. And so I went to get on the bus, and I got upon the bus, and I said, you know what? I have got to go talk to that singer. And they all, like, what do you mean? What do you mean you're going to talk to that singer? I said, I have to go talk to him. And they said, why? I said, well, I actually think that God told me that I should go to Bulgaria. And they said, okay. So they all trooped in there with me. So in we go, and so talked to Georgian Banoff, and I said, this may sound unusual, but I think that God really spoke to me when you were here, because he was talking about Bulgaria, the wall had come down, and so many people were looking for Christ. And anyway, I just thought I need to go there. And so I told him that, and he said, then you should come. I thought, okie dokie. So I did. I quit my job, which was fine. And off I went to Bulgaria, which was just out of communism, which was really ugly. Mm. It was a really ugly place. And like communism may have fallen as far as the government was concerned, but communism hadn't fallen as far as the society was concerned. Mm-hmm. It was quite the deal. Christians were, not me necessarily, because I was a foreigner, and they knew better than to not be nice to foreigners, or at least not unnice to foreigners. But so many of the Bulgarian Christians were being persecuted. Anyway, God gave me a heart for that country, and so I actually moved there for 3 years. I lived there for 3 years. And went around with lots of Christian friends, and so we went from church to church just encouraging Christians, don't give up, you know, just don't give up. Don't give up. And I love that country.
And start Christian schools?
I started Christian schools there. I was a teacher, I was a principal of a Christian school in Dawson, and I thought, there's one good way to bring up the next generation,
amen,
and that is in a school that has Christ as part of it every single day, where kids are memorizing scripture and da-da-da-da-da. And so I did. So I started Christian schools, and I went from city to city. I started in Lovich, Bulgaria, and moved out from there.
Which is when you got arrested. Don't avoid being arrested. She's a convict, you guys.
Oh, I'm not a convict. Okay. I'll try to start this story out.
They came and arrested you because you're trying to start a Christian school?
Yeah, so anyway, so I had gone to the government in Sofia and gotten all the papers, and I went to Lovich. And so then I was looking for a building and everything, and then the guy who was in charge of that building went and told the Lovich, which is the city, that government. And so then the police came and arrested me, because how dare I want to bring Christianity into their country and into their city. And so he took me to jail. Bulgarian jails are not very nice. No, they're not. But the good news is that my friend George Mikhailov and Lua Petkov heard through the very fast grapevine that they put me in jail. So here I am in jail, and the police chief, he didn't know what to do. So he's there, and then then all of a sudden he shows up with coffee and, you know, like a bun, and it brings me a blanket. And so he's doing all this stuff, right? And I thought, oh, that's interesting. It's really interesting. And he was so nice to me. He was so kind, right? He couldn't speak English, so he got somebody who wasn't Christian anyway, but who could speak English to come and find out, did I need something, and da-da-da-da-da. And he had decided that he would put me, during the day I had to stay in jail, but at night I could go back to my apartment, and that they would trust me. And so I would put myself under house arrest. Put myself under house arrest and go back to jail the next morning. And so I did. And we got to be great friends, the police chief and I. And so anyway, I don't even know how we ended all of that.
We got out, obviously.
Yeah, I got out, obviously. Finally, he just said, you know, I don't see any reason for you to be here. I don't know what they were talking about. You're very nice and, you know, all of these kind of things. And he said, you haven't caused any trouble and you never complain. You don't even mind the food, which was awful. And he said, I think I should just let you go. I said, well, I'm in favor of that. And you know what? After that, he was my friend. Every time I'd see him on the church, you know, and we'd talk for a few minutes. And he'd laugh, oh, you remember when you were in jail? You know, whatever. So I've had some really interesting times. A lot of them happened in Bulgaria. And but I found out something. That country came to Christ en masse.
Yes. It was amazing.
You know, we just were recently talking to a friend of ours. We go there every summer. But we were on the phone with a friend of ours, Blago, and he when I was there the first time, I'd taken kids with me, King's kids. We did music and drama in all different cities all over the country. And we went to Sofia, which is the capital, in this huge arena. And we did our King's Kids thing, which is just music and drama, and then quoting the scripture and talking. The kids gave their testimonies about how they had come to Christ and all of that. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people came to Christ. I will never forget the picture. I will never forget it in my life, ever, of the people streaming out of these seats in this great big outdoor soccer arena to come to Christ. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And so, you know what? There's a reason I go back there. Mm-hmm. Because I have a love for that place. Anyway, I don't know why we got off onto that. Why did
That's
we do
okay.
that?
I'm just going to go to that.
Oh.
So the fifth thing is confirmation. Don't let the prophetic lead your life. It's just part of how God speaks to people. Prophetic needs to be a confirmation sometimes of what's already happening. Or you have an inkling. You know that aha moment? We've all had them. While a prophetic person is speaking, sometimes you go, aha. It's like, I knew that, but I didn't know that. You know that feeling? And so you need lots of other confirmations. Don't just go strictly by a prophetic word. Because you know what? Prophetic people are humans. They make mistakes. I tell some young people, I'm not sure you really want to be prophetic, because if you get married, it's going to get even worse. Because you're driving home from work and being prophetic, you know things ahead of time. So you already know before you even drive in the driveway, you got to take out the garbage. I mean, come on.
Only David.
Okay, take the word to your leadership. Listen, folks, I know lots of things are happening in the world right now. And for a lot of people, church is a downer. But God said he's building the church. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not happen. Lots of things happen in church. They have for years. Good things, bad things. But the key is God is still for the church. Mm-hmm. And so go to your leadership. Check it out with them. You know, even if you feel, oh, well, the pastor never says nothing good about me, you still need to go. They really can help. All right? Show your word to a few people who know you. Okay? Not your gang. Not people who really love you that would never tell you there's something wrong, that would never tell you your shoe's untied and you're about to trip. But go to people who you know that you trust and share that word with them. They'll help you, right? Then look at the fruit. Some of that is looking at the fruit of the prophetic person giving the word. Did it sound angry when you were getting it? Was it given in love? That could tell you if there's something off, because the reality, if you're prophetic, if you're an angry person, guess what? You're going to prophesy anger. If you're lonely, you're going to prophesy loneliness. And amongst this great word where you make, you know, calling somebody to being a missionary, some of that still gets in there. So none of us are perfect. But as long as you keep working on yourself, the word will come out more pure. There's a truth to that, right? Is there fruit in their ministry? Now we got some side notes here. Oh, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. Oh, okay, let's go on here. We're running out of time. So.
Talk faster.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about what we call prophetic character. And Phyllis, she's retired now, was principal, teacher, stuff like that. And when we were putting together these notes, we came up with what we would call the M's, like M and mother.
You can tell I'm a teacher.
Ministry of character. So, do we get out of order here? No. Okay. So, go ahead and start those ones, okay. And I'll take the rest.
We're talking about prophetic character. The first one is ministry, and I'll just tell you what the scriptures are. 2 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5, 2 Corinthians 6, 3, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20. And those tell us that prophetic ministry should be done in maturity and give little offense. You're not out to offend anyone. It also draws people into a love relationship with Jesus. It is to reconcile people to Jesus. It is to reconcile people to people. Mm-hmm. And it is to bear much fruit. And you don't give a person a word for them to seek a position. You are just speaking, when in ministry, you're just speaking the word. Now, the message that you are speaking is to be given in love. And it needs to be balanced. It can't be too, you have to give both sides of whatever God is saying. You know, God is very good. God is a balanced God. You know, mm-hmm. He's not really great at sugary words, but he is really good at true words, which certainly always include an amazing amount of love and sugar. You could call it sugar, right? So the message also should contain no confusion. So if it's confusing, then it's not the word, it's the person who's not able to get it right. And it has to be scriptural.
Guess I better get that one. No.
And then the third M is maturity. And the scriptures there are 1 Timothy 3, 14 to 17, 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 5, and 2 Timothy 4, 34. And the person giving the word needs to have the right attitude. Mm-hmm. They have to have the right attitude. You know, I think there's maybe nothing harder than giving a word to somebody that you in the past have had some kind of something with that wasn't good. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, that's what I say to myself, shut up, Phyllis. And I just give the word like God says it, right? Shut up, Phyllis, right? It's not about me, it's about them. It's also, under maturity, is trustworthiness. You don't go around and blab to other people anything. And you also have to be a trustworthy person, right? Mm-hmm. You just have to. And then you also have to be faithful in the little things. That's always the hard part. Being faithful in the big things is a pretty easy thing to do. But being faithful in the little things can sometimes be hard to do. And so that's what God calls us to do, is to be faithful and to be faithful all the way through. From beginning to end, from who I am to what I mm-hmm. say to how I live to, you know, all of those kinds of things. And finally, to have a childlike faith. The thing, I'm really blessed in the fact that I worked with children for so many years. And you know what? Kids, whether they're kindergarten or grade 12, you know what? They are pretty amazing in the fact that, if I found anyway, they only ended up in my office when they're in trouble, right? How terrible is that? Anyway, but I found out something. If you just said, you know what? This is an example. I remember this one young man. He was a nice kid, but he was always outside the boundaries. Anyway, so he came into my office again. And I said, hey, Gordon, how are you doing today? He said, well, I'm here in your office. I said, yes, you are. And I said, you know what? I have an idea. And he said, what? I said, I'm not going to ask you to tell me about what you did. Because you know what? I think you just need to bow your head and give it to God today. And tell God, say, God, what, and I don't know what he did. I didn't even know what it was he did. I know what he usually did, but I don't know what he did that day. And I said, and you know what? I think that once you give it to God, you need to say this to him. Every time I start to do that, you need to show me and remind me. And I said, so you're not leaving this office until you know how God is going to show you. And it wasn't very long. And he knew how God would show him. And you know what? Sure enough, that kid changed. Mm-hmm. He did change.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, He's since graduated, and I got on and on. And it wasn't very long ago we were, where were we?
At Safeway.
Safeway. Yeah. I think we were outside of Safeway. And lo and behold, there was Gordon, all grown up, right? And I was like, Gordon, he came running to me, threw his arms around me, you know. And he said, Mrs. Rock, you were so right. And I said, no, honey, I think it was God that was so right. He said, well, you were both right. So you know what? God loves people more than anything. And when Amen. We're dealing with people, and we're always interacting with people, especially in the prophetic, honor the person.
Yes.
Honor the person.
Yep.
Right? Always honor the person. And it doesn't matter what you think about them or what you know about them. Right? It doesn't matter. Because God's word is love and his word is truth. And you know what? They will receive it that way. If you give it in humility and in love and in truth, they will receive the word no matter what it is. And we have found that to be true, haven't mm-hmm. we?
Yep.
We have really found that to be true. Your turn.
So I forgot to mention at the beginning last night that we told Randy when we were coming that we're not going to kind of do what we call fluff prophetic. Like, we're getting kind of real. And because the prophetic is a profound thing, it's amazing. Again, how dare you speak on God's behalf? How dare you speak, as it were, God's voice to people without understanding how serious it is? And it can be fun, too. God's shared jokes with me for people, all sorts of things. But the key is this stuff's serious stuff. And we're the ones that need to be mature. Because the reality is, what you need to realize as a prophetic and or intercessor type person is that people expect more out of you than sometimes you can give. And so you really need to work on all of this stuff, so that the word stays pure, so that the word gets to them pure, so that when you pray and intercede for people and get revelation from God, that it will get to the people properly, that it will help them. So it's like you need to have a Christ knowledge of the word of God. You need to be in the word. You need to be in the word, because you can't prophesy stuff that isn't in the word. If you're not in the word, next thing you're going to know, you're going to be spouting off some advertisement that's been on TV the last 3 weeks. You can't help it. The reality is, when you're in the word, then it's easier for the word to get out. God will use you more. Here's the one that's probably going to hurt the most, is control your tongue. Don't be gossip or excessive chatter. And that's one thing prophetic people are good at, is talking. And we've discovered, even in our own lives, we have to watch it sometimes, because it's like, you can keep going, and you may be saying the same thing over 3 or 4 times. Sometimes God's trying to do that. Don't misunderstand me. But there are sometimes prophetic people that just kind of keep talking, and God's finished. And so we're what we call our third level prophetic, we're telling themselves, you know, get the pure word of God. Don't add your own stuff to it. Don't try to interpret it. And you know, I just want to, we're getting serious here. When you're prophetic, if you're prophetic, most likely you're good at reading body language. I mean, at Bible school, I was taught things like, in the counseling part, when a husband starts going like this, probably 70% of the chance there's some marriage problems. Isn't that interesting? It's called body language, right? Working with the RCMP. By the way, I wore this tonight so you guys would behave, but I see you're doing well, so I didn't need to bring it up.
Mine, because I'm a proud Canadian.
Go Canadian team. Anyway, but
oh,
yeah, yes, right. Oh, yeah, blue for boys, pink. I didn't catch that. Anyway, So being prophetic is being, as John Wimber used to say, supernaturally natural. Be who you are. You don't even have to say, this is a prophetic word. People get it. Working with the RCMP, I get prophetic stuff all the time. I get to ride along in the cars with them, all kind of stuff. And it's amazing. And they go sometimes, well, how do you know that? I say, well, I just pray and God shows me things. You don't have to announce that you're prophetic.
That puts the fear of God in them. No.
That's true. Anyway,
it does.
Right? If you're married, you need to have a good marriage. You need to work on your marriage before you prophesy. Now, none of us is perfect. Nobody has a perfect marriage. The problem with marrying somebody who's like you, that's stubborn, that's bold, that's a leader, that wants to be in charge, that's always right, is sometimes we fight. Go figure. But like the Bible says, don't let your anger go. Don't go to sleep angry.
Well, we don't get angry. We just, neither one
talk
wants
love.
To give. Oh, neither one wants to give the other person. No, I don't think that's right. Well, I think it is. I don't know.
Yeah, get over it quickly. Right? We're talking serious stuff. As far as money goes, we never go speaking, asking for money. We go on faith. We have what we call a reverse bank account. And so somebody phones us and said, will you come and speak at our place? We check and make sure we have the money before we leave and money to get home. That's an important one. We met a few prophetic people that kind of, this one guy, we call him the Dime Man. Years ago, we met him, he's prophetic. He is prophetic. And he always have rolls of dimes. And what he would do is drive to a town that he felt God wanted him to be in. And he'd pick up the
payphone
back then, put the dime in, and say, hi, I'm a prophet of God from such and such a place. Can I come and speak at your church? And he felt it was God when he got at church before the roll ended. But whatever. He made it. He was okay. He wanted us to... Huh?
He's a holy
roller. Yeah. Oh, I love it. That's good. So, talking about money can't be the issue. We've actually refused some offerings from some churches and things like that because we felt they were wanting us to give them a word. And hopefully that would get God to do that. And so don't be about money. It's not the issue. Okay? Don't be ruled by money. Don't be greedy. Don't be any of that. Ask God to help you however he wants to help you. We are not good fundraisers. Okay? And we absolutely believe in this. And some people I know can't hear it. But as a prophetic person, you need to be part of a church and you need to be tithing. Because we travel all over the world. We travel lots. We also pastor a church. And you're going, well, how can you pastor a church and be traveling? Well, when we started the church, God told us to start this church. Even though I still don't think I'm a pastor. Phyllis is a pastor, that's for sure. But we said we're going to pastor a non-pastor-dependent church. So what is that? What that is we equip the saints. So at any time God calls us, we have people that can come and speak, can do pastoral work.
Yeah, people from our own church.
Yeah.
Who, you know, have studied and, you know, have the Word of God
raise
in their heart.
Up.
And they're not, we raise them up and they practice sometimes when we're there. You know, we ask them to preach, you know, so that we get to hear them too. And it's really good. It's really nice, actually.
I mean, I'm not the friendliest guy around.
Here we go.
Sometimes you probably wouldn't want me come and visit you in the hospital because I just read your scripture and leave. But there are people who have what I call pastoral gifting. They are amazing. They are so amazing. And so you need to be part. And I'm serious about that. You need to be part of a church. You need to be tithing. Because whether you're what we call, Phyllis doesn't like this word, translocal prophetic, and you're traveling, you come back or whatever, you need somebody that just knows you as knows me as David. Not David the prophet or prophet David. That's even worse. Right? It's not, that's not what it's about. That's why you need to be part of a local church. We believe there needs to be prophetic in every local church. We don't have time to go into all of that. Okay, morality, obviously, right? Runs in terror from anything unclean. Because again, how can you speak the oracles of God? How can you speak with God's voice when there's stuff, not good stuff? And again, we talked a little bit about motive. And the best motive you can have is a motive of love. And then obedience. And you need to love God's people. And the best way to love God's people is be in church. Because sure enough, if there's something that God needs to work on you, guess what? There's going to be a different person sit beside you next Sunday. And it's how God will work on you. Isn't that fun? Okay.
Are you doing this?
That was supposed to be funny. We did. Okay. We did that twice. So, we're going to leave it at that. Because tomorrow we're going to, you can pray for us about this, how to get it all in one service. And where people have gone wrong with prophetic is in this 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, and 15, it says on one hand, all can prophesy, but then you've got prophets to nations, right? And the problem is, especially back in the 40s and 50s, somebody kind of got a prophecy that, how about this? How about this for prophecy? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know that? You can prophesy that. You can speak that out. You can pray that. You can prophesy scripture. And we need prophecy that's alive and living. That's that whole thing we used to teach way back when, between the Logos and the, what's the other one? I forgot it now. Rhema, thank you. Right? And prophecy is Rhema. Did you know sometimes your pastor, when they get up and they're preaching a sermon, they're actually prophesying the sermon? Have you ever felt that? There's a difference sometimes. But then there's the office of a prophet and everything in between that. And we're just letting, because you came tonight, there's a special bonus. No. There's a special bonus. We've got, let's see, our account is, we're up to about 240 different types of prophetic ministries. Can any of you name anything besides just getting up and speaking personal prophecy? Anybody know it? Any of them? Be brave. Be strong. For God is with you. How about prophesying on instruments? It's in there. As a matter of fact, David commanded them to prophesy on the instruments. Talk about being spontaneous, right? Back then I would have said, wait a minute, prophecy's spontaneous, isn't it? No, David said, you guys prophesied this Sunday on the instruments. What other kind of prophetic is there? Anybody know?
Dance.
Prophetic dance, thank you. Who said dance? Cool. You're right. Song of the Lord. You know the whole Bible. What's some of the prophetic in there? Seers? Right? Yeah.
Dreams?
Dreams, yes. Prophetic dreams. Prophetic visions. Yeah. Yes, very much so. Okay, we got a few minutes for a quick story. We were in Esperanza, California. And we're at this church. And this was actually 2 months before we got married. And somehow, anyway, before we even got married, we ministered together. And
so we didn't stay together.
Yes. And this church there made sure, because we told them, you know, we're not married yet, so you can't have one hotel room. So they took us at their word, and they drove Phyllis about an hour in away from there to a hotel there and drove me to a different hotel just so to make sure to keep it pure.
They didn't know us.
Anyway,
They were nice, really nice people.
Yeah, I mean, they were really nice to us. No, that's my point. Anyway, so they had us as prophetic people there. They had two other different groups of prophetic people. And basically, we were just supposed to prophesy. No preaching, no teaching, just prophesy to people that they brought. And we were actually we were there also to teach about ministry, gifts of the Spirit, all that kind of stuff. And so we got up and gave some words, and that was kind of cool. And then they said, now there's this other couple, and there's a table set up with a canvas over top, like a big banquet table. And this guy comes up, a short little guy, and he takes an easel and puts up a big canvas. And then he'd say, you, sir, God says, I didn't remember what
the
he said.
The joy of the Lord is your
strength. Yeah, the joy of the, and then he'd go over to the table, and he took this thing, and then all of a sudden you heard, and I went, what is that? And they got a compressor there, and this guy's got the, and he goes, and then he says some more things.
It was a spray gun.
Yeah.
And he would change the tips to go with the different colors, and he had all of these.
Yeah, had these things lined up.
He had all of these tanks, and he would switch them off, and he'd preach, and then he'd go.
And then he'd say, and so in closing, God says this, and he'd go, and this beautiful picture would appear.
It was
and
beautiful.
And he says, here's your prophetic word. Is that cool or
that
what?
That is cool.
That's so amazing.
It was amazing.
We've seen all sorts of prophetic, so thank you. The arts can be prophetic.
Don't have to be like that. But
hey, I tell people, not? You want to be prophetic? That's really cool. Pray that you're not like some of those guys in the Old Testament. 40 days, you got to walk around nude. Are you sure you want to be prophetic?
You're not going to do that.
There's lots of prophetic action in the Bible. Okay, let's pray for a minute. God, what do you want to do now? It's almost 9 o'clock. I'm supposed to be in bed by 5 after. Thank you, Lord. Okay, hopefully some of you, if you have your phones or whatever, you can record. If we get a prophetic word, I understand. I hope they're recording stuff, but we've got to do something here. Where are we getting ready? There's a whole bunch of pastors in Bulgaria, and they call Phyllis the Queen of Bulgaria. I'm serious, because she's affected so many people. Can I just come over here? Can you do me a favor? Come, let me escort you up here carefully.
Her name is Anne.
Yeah. Anne? Okay. I may forget, okay? So have a seat, Anne. Have a seat.
I like your jacket.
The Holy Spirit wants to honor you today. And so feel honored. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. And God, I ask you to bring back to her remembrance of when she was younger and how much she served you, how much she called out to you, how much you answered her. And God, I pray you reveal to her how much you used her. And part of you has never wanted to be the center of attention. But you know what? There are people that love you so much. They view you as this sitting up here. So honored, so blessed. Such an amazing woman of God. And so God wants to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the other scripture God's given me is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And it's basically, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, I completely take away from you all the worry. You've been kind of what my mom used to call a worry wart most of your life, wanting to spend so much of your life and heart doing stuff for Jesus. And he's very pleased with you. And so I release you from feeling that you've made lots of mistakes. And just be free to be who you are. Father, I pray that you release her as what you call a high-end intercessor. I want to ask you a question, and it's not a trick, but do you watch TV? Some? Okay. Okay, not a lot. True Christian, right?
Mostly,
not a lot.
Mostly Christian TV.
Okay, mostly Christian TV. Anyway, and that's good. God's okay with that. And that's the way he wants you to see the world, as sort of like there's lots of stuff happening out there because he's got lots for you to pray about. And you need to understand he has answered some of your prayers and he's going to answer more. So God, I pray that as she goes to sleep tonight, that she knows that you, as King Jesus, honor her. And that you're saying to her, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that he's pleased with you. And there's more. There really is more. And he's releasing you to be an exceptional woman of faith. And you need to be brave and be strong and reach out to some younger women. And don't worry about it. Just share. Just share. Some of your stories people need to hear. God's not calling you to be a great preacher, great, but to be a sharer of what Jesus has done, what Jesus can do for them, and pray in faith, believing that God will change their lives. Because there's a little part of you that has discernment. Were you here last night? Sorry?
My last name?
No, were you here last night?
Yes, I was.
You were you walking around a little bit?
No.
Okay. Was there somebody here last night that kind of walked back and forth? Was it?
I think it's
right. Oh, it was you. Okay. We'll get to you in a minute. Okay. So, God gives you insight into things. And you need to start writing them down or write them on your phone or whatever, and then pray them back to God. And that's part of what a high-level intercessor is. Some people never knew or never will know what you prayed about. But with, when you're with Jesus, he'll say, oh, yeah, remember when I told you to pray about that and that? And you'll go, oh, yeah. And he'll show you the result. So we just bless you.
Okay. Just yeah. I'm not, David and I do things differently. I see pictures, so I'm just going to tell you the picture I saw. I wrote it down so I didn't forget it. You know how that goes, eh? I saw a basket, and it was full of fruit. That's a good thing. It was full of fruit, but the fruit wasn't bananas and oranges and apples and grapes. It was wisdom and insight and truth and peace and goodness. And it goes on. Yes, from the Father. And I, without knowing you, I knew that throughout your lifetime, you have asked for and gained through life its ups and its downs, its good days and its bad days. These different qualities, they really are character qualities, or spiritual qualities, I don't know what to call them. Anyway, they are yours, and I really bless you in that. And I thank you as a sister in Christ for your faithfulness. And may God continue to fill you, to meet every need, to give you the opportunity to share life with others, however you do that. Different people are different, right? However you do that. And I know that he will. And I know that you have impacted people. And I know that you will impact people. May God bless you.
And bless you. Thank you. How do you guys keep these chairs straight? My goodness, I was looking and seeing how straight they are. Okay.
How did I lose my pen?
It's a, oh. No, no. Oh, there it is.
Oh, thank you.
I was thinking you could use this. Fine. Okay, thank you. Either one. Okay, the walker. Sorry, what's your first name?
Donna,
okay. Father, we just thank you for Donna and who she is. One of the gifts that you have is called the gift of discernment. And that's kind of like why you actually pace and walk around. And God wants to, well, we'll have to check with pastors sometimes if that's okay for you to walk around. Because it actually helps center you and helps you concentrate. And your gifting discernment isn't just for individuals. God's given you the gift to discern what's happening kind of right now. So you know how sometimes you come into service and you just sense it's going to be a good Sunday, or there's something happening, or you feel like crying, or you feel nervous, or you feel... That isn't just you. That's a gift of discernment. And so that gift of discernment is great to know those things, but you need to do something with it, and that's what you need to do is pray. So if you're feeling distressed, if you're feeling, sometimes it's like you'll zero in on certain people and you'll say, oh my goodness, they seem upset or they seem worried or they seem, that's discernment. And you can pray for them. You may not even have to go up to them, but you can pray right there because you have the gift of discernment. And it's kind of coming to a higher level so that you have discernment of the discernment that God will show you sometimes that why that's happening. Right? And here's a little thing. This isn't prophetic. This is just good pastoral advice. If the discernment you're getting, if you get more negative discerning things than positive, you're out of order. And it's something you need to say, okay, God, I'm getting a little bit out of order here. Help me to see that. Remember that Nathaniel scripture? I love that. Jesus came and said to the guy in the tree, here's a man in whom there's no guile. That's what you're looking for. Looking for the good things, not, oh, what's wrong here? But being discerning spirits, you're able to speak to the spirits and say, no, there's no spirit of anger that's going to affect this service. Oh, I feel joy. God, I pray that joy come even stronger and more, right? So it's an active thing. And that's what we found with a lot of discerning people. They're kind of active people. They like to move around because I don't know if you realize it. I want you to think about this next time you go shopping. And sometimes as you're walking around looking for things, you actually feel something here, and then you get to the canned goods and you feel something better. And then you get to the sale and you feel, no, that's a joke. But, right? You feel different things. That's discerning spirits. All God's trying to do is explain to you that you have that. So that can go beyond the church walls as well. But you're what we call a discerner of what's happening around. Other people have the gift of discerning that's individual. They mainly get discernment for individuals to help them. It's always to help them. Okay? We're not talking the gift of suspicion here. Okay? Be careful with that. We're all susceptible to that. Right? What's Philippians? We're supposed to think on those things which are good and profitable and beautiful and all these wonderful things. If you find yourself thinking different, you're out of order. Right? So stay away from bad news. Don't watch the news. Don't get caught up in that stuff. It's bad enough as it is without it. We don't really need it. Right? So Father, I pray that you bless her with that. And Father, I also wipe away from her when you were, I don't want to give away your age, no. anyway, I'll say it this way. When you were getting close to retirement, there's like some kind of real negative things happened to you and you got hurt. And there's still two people you need to forgive. And God will show you who those are. He may know them, but he can just say, God, I forgive him. I release him. Don't hold any accounts. And that's good advice for all of us too, right? Don't hold accounts. Just forgive. Forgive is an act of the will. I don't know how God does that, because I have strong feelings sometimes, but we need to say, no, I choose to forgive anyway. So God bless you. Donna, right? Ooh, I remember it. She even has a picture.
I do.
She drew one.
Wow. So I won't forget. Yes, that way I don't forget. That's because I'm a picture seer. I see pictures, and then God speaks to me about the picture. So that's how I do it. That's how God does it. Okay, I saw some mountains, and I don't know what the words, I don't know exactly what the words are. So I'm going to throw out a couple things. They both kind of say the same thing. Either you are a way maker for others.
Huh.
Or
that's good.
God wants you to know the way to teach it to others. Does that make sense to you? Okay, it makes sense to me. And the picture I saw was of these mountains, and then there was a road through the mountains. So here I did my little mountains, right? And God knows the way, and you know the way. It's for you, yes, but it's for other people that you know, and it's even for people that you know that you would never be able to go and say, you know what? I think that God said, right? If you have people that you can do that with, you can say, you know what? I really believe that God told me this about you. If you can do that, some people don't do that. But if you can, be brave and do that. Make sure it's God, and you know how to know, you know how to discern that, and then go and tell them, right? Because, you know, there are a lot of floundering. I think I've said this over and over. There are a lot of floundering people in the world,
yeah.
And we know a lot of them. Right? I know a lot of them. You know a lot of them. And so when God gives you something, just this part's for everyone. Just say it in love.
Yeah.
With no anything, nothing to offend, right? So I bless you in that. You're a real warrior in God. And God's going to continue to use that. God bless you.
So again, tonight, because you're here, you get a special bonus to pray for tomorrow morning. Some of you were here last night, but God has a prophetic word for this church, and also this move of God that started with prophetic. And there's, like I said, we've come up with well over 200 different types of prophetic ministries in the Bible. And so that makes room for a lot of people. And it's going to be a strong prophetic move. And I'll give you a little bit more tonight. That part of this church's mandate, if you will, is a protector of the prophetic. And you'll have to discern exactly what that is, and we'll share some more tomorrow. On the one hand, it could be really dangerous, but on the other hand, it could be such a blessing, because the world is in so much turmoil, and there's so much fake news and fake stuff and so much horrible stuff out there that the truth needs to come out. But you know what? The truth won't work without love. And so the whole key is you need to become a church of love, but also of the truth, and God will make a way for that to happen. Because there's people asking for answers. We get people phoning us, we get people calling us saying, you know, I don't care how bad it is, go ahead, tell me. I mean, we've got to be desperate if we want to do something like that. But aren't you desperate to hear from God? I am. I was doing prophetic for over almost 30 years, begging God to give me a word, if I'm really prophetic. And God kept saying, am I not enough for you? And I kept saying, yes, but. And that's not the point. The point is, be a voice for God in whatever it is you do or you are. Speak and act as if you were an ambassador for God. That's what he's talking about. It's not this big thing of being a prophetic. That was just to get you here. No, I'm joking. Okay. Anything? Anybody else? Okay. I'm getting tired. So we better close in case I say something out of my imagination. No. I'll just be honest. Okay, let's pray. You want to come up, Randy? Pray to close? Okay.